Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. How we doing? Good. That sounded decent. Good to see you. Good to see you. We're glad you're here today. I want to read a verse for you. It comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's verse 13 out of the chapter that Paul wrote. We sometimes refer to it as the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 says this. Now faith, hope, and love remain. These three things. And the greatest of these is love. Would you pray with me, please? Father, today we come to worship you, to thank you, to praise you. And that's our first and foremost reason for being here. Through our time of worship, Father, we'll learn about your love for us all over again. And I pray that would prompt our love back to you. So bless us as we go through this time. We ask all these things together. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, I want to draw your attention to something you should find in your bulletin. We have one of our members donate a couple of hundred of these. You know what these are for? You can put your note thing there. No excuses anymore. No saying my pen brought through. It's interesting. This one I picked up, apparently Pastor John had this one because it says, Pastor John was here. Okay? That is not what these are for. All right? We're going to find some way to take care of that. John, just go on about your business now. That's all right. I want to describe something to you. See if you know what this is. A meal consisting of deer, corn, shellfish, and roasted meats. It happened back in 1621. It was the first Thanksgiving meal. I'm not sure I would have liked that one. But they tell us, historians tell us, that they celebrated, the colonists and the Native American Wampanoag people celebrated together. They called it the Autumn Harvest Feast. It lasted 3 days. Now we go, well, that's a lot. No, we do the same thing. Fourth Sunday in November, we eat, and then we have what? Leftovers, and we eat for 3 days too, sometimes longer. We celebrate Thanksgiving because it's a way that we recognize how God has blessed us. And it's a time for us just to say thank you. We say thank you to family and to friends, and it's a great part of what God has called us to do. I've been in a series of messages called Living in Faith. Today is the seventh part of that message. We're going to be talking about faith to be grateful. It takes faith to be grateful because being grateful means giving thanks to God all of the times. In the ups and the downs of life, in the good and the bad, the easy times, the challenging times, when we have an abundance or when we're running short, when the well is overflowing or well is dry, it is by faith that in the midst of all of that, in faith we still say, God, thank you. It doesn't mean we thank God for everything, but in the midst of everything, we take time to say, God, thank you, and we show our gratitude to God. So I want to share with you some reasons we have to be grateful to God all the time. So if you have your outlines, put them on that board, get your pen, and take some notes here. Reasons to be grateful to God all the time. Number one is because of God's love. Because of God's love. 1 John 3:1 says this, "See how very much our Heavenly Father loves us, for he allows us to be called his children." Think of it. We really are. God allows us. Sometimes we, people who are selfish, we have sinned, we've engaged in behaviors that we know we should not have done, we've had attitudes that were not pleasing to God, and God allows us, God allows you, God allows me to be called his children. He sees us, he looks at us, and he says, "That's my daughter, that's my son, that's my girl, that's my boy. I know they're struggling right now. I know they're going down the wrong road, but that's my child, and I love them unconditionally." Look how the writer of Lamentations puts it. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They are created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness? Did you hear what the writer of those verses said? God's merciful love for you is created new every day. You see, folks, God knows what's going to happen to you in any given day, and so He creates for you specific loving mercies that you will need throughout that particular day. And the next morning, He does it all over again because He knows you're going to have new needs. Every day, we get a chance to experience God's loving mercy. Folks, God made you to love you. We need to really let that sink in. We've always heard, God loves you, God loves you, and to the point where it doesn't even affect us anymore, but you need to listen. God loves you. The first purpose of your life is not to serve God. The first purpose of your life is not to trust God. The first purpose of your life is not to obey God. The first purpose of your life is not even to love God. Listen. Get close. Listen. Write this in. The first purpose of life is to let God love me. That's the first purpose. And sometimes we get that confused. The first purpose of life is to let God love me. God didn't create you in the first place to do something. He created you in the first place to receive something. And if you understand this truth, this revolutionary truth, it's going to transform your life. That my number one purpose in life is not to do something for God, it's to receive something from God. What is that? His love. His unconditional love for you and acceptance of you. We were made to be receivers of God's love. That's the first purpose of life, to be loved by God. And that is reason enough to be thankful. I don't know anyone who hasn't had a hurtful, negative experience regarding love. Do you know why in faith we can be grateful to God? Because God loves us, and His love never fails. God loves you. He loves me. His love doesn't go awry. It doesn't go away. God's love stays with us even when we walk away from Him. And we exercise our faith by being grateful to God, because God's love is always there with us and around us. One of the reasons in faith we are grateful to God is because of God's love. Number two, another reason in faith to be grateful to God is because of God's forgiveness. Because of His forgiveness. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says this: when you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, that old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to the cross. Now take your pens, your pencils, and here's what I want you to do. Underline some things in that verse. Underline, God brought you alive. Underline, all sins forgiven. And then underline the word all three more times. Underline, the slate wiped clean. Underline, the old arrest warrant canceled. Underline, nailed to Christ's cross. Do you see in this verse? Do you see what God has done for us? He has forgiven us. In faith, we're grateful because every sin you ever committed, any sin you're committing now, and any sin that you're going to commit in the future are already covered by the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross so we could be forgiven. Did you hear that? They're all already covered. You don't have to worry. You say, Kevin, I'm going to blow it again. I know you are. So am I. It's already covered by the blood of Christ. What? That is unbelievably good news, great news. And we need to have faith about this because many times we're going to feel anything and everything but forgiven. Because while God forgives, we don't forgive ourselves. We tend to beat ourselves up as though we're punishing ourselves, thinking that doing that makes us worthy of God's forgiveness. No, it doesn't. It just makes you feel bad. God isn't going to declare you not guilty of your sins one day. Listen to me. He did that already when Jesus died on the cross. When Jesus said, "It is finished," that's when God forgave you of everything you've ever done wrong. Every sin. God says you are forgiven through Christ. You are not guilty for something we know we're guilty of. God says no. That's good news, folks. That's really good news. A lady by the name of Margarita Lasky, one of the best-known secular humanists and novelists, she was an atheist. And not long before she died in 1988, in a moment of surprising candor, she said this, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness." She said, "I have nobody to forgive me." We have Jesus to forgive us. And a reason we in faith can be thankful to God all the time is because God has forgiven our sins. The slate is wiped clean. The old arrest warrant has been canceled. And through Jesus, we no longer have a reason to be guilty. Because we're already forgiven. Our sins have been nailed to the cross. This alone is reason for us in faith to be grateful to God. Reasons we're to be grateful to God in the midst of all of what we go through. By faith, God's love. Secondly, God's forgiveness. Number three, because God never gives up on us. God never gives up on us. 2 Timothy 2:13, Paul said this, "If we are unfaithful, he," speaking of God, "he remains faithful to us and will help us, and he will always carry out his promises to us." Sometimes I have a hard time believing this verse. So God, when I'm unfaithful, when I decide I just want to walk a little ways away from you, when I know I'm not doing what I should, God, when I'm unfaithful, are you telling me, God, that you are still faithful to me? We have a hard time in our society believing that because we have a pro quo. We have a, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. If you're good to you, I'll be good to me, and I'll be good to you. And if I'm not good to you, you're not going to be good to me. And that's the way we think. That's the way we believe. That's the way we act. And God says, no, it's not like that. Even when we are unfaithful, God remains faithful to us. He will always carry out his promises to us, even when we've walked away from him. Have you ever fell short of what God has called you to do or to be? Have you ever felt unworthy? Aren't you grateful that even when we fail and fall and falter, even when we're unfaithful, God never gives up on us. Never. Not even when we give up on ourselves. He's faithful. And for that, we're thankful. We may go AWOL with God, but he never leaves us. We just sang a song. You never let go. Oh no, you God, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, God, you never let go in every high, in every low. Oh no, God, you never let go. Lord, you never let go of me. Just breathe that truth of Scripture in. God, you never let go. Many of you have heard of the guy Peter in the New Testament. He was one of the disciples of Jesus. By trade, Peter was a fisherman. And God came to Peter and said, I want you to follow me. And Peter said, fine. Threw all his fishing gear away, walked away from it, probably lost thousands of dollars. He said, all right, I'll do it. He's following Jesus. He came to love Jesus, and he became very loyal to Jesus, so much so that he told Jesus, I will die for you if it comes to that. He told Jesus he would never deny him, ever. He said among all the other disciples, I will be faithful to you. And that sounded really good until things began to change. Jesus now was in real trouble. He was going to be tried, and anyone associated with Jesus was also in danger. And initially, Peter was tough, living up to his words of allegiance. He even pulled his sword out on a guard and cut off his ear. It's a good thing Peter wasn't a good swordsman, because he actually wasn't going for the ear. He was going to take that guy's life. And then things changed. Now there was talk of possibly having Jesus crucified. It got real. And then in Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75, we hear this. Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard when one of the high priest's servants' women came to him and said, you too were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it in front of all of them. I don't know what you're talking about, he answered, and went on out to the entrance of the courtyard. Another servant woman saw him and said to the men there, he was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, Peter denied it, and he answered, I swear, I don't know that man. And after a little while, the men standing there came to Peter. Of course you're one of them, they said. After all, the way you speak gives you away. Then Peter said, I swear that I'm telling the truth. May God punish me if I'm not. I do not know that man. And immediately, the rooster crowed. Peter, remember, he remembered what Jesus told him. Peter, before the rooster crows, you will say three times that you do not know me. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter denied knowing, ever being around, talking with, spending time with Jesus. He was lying and denying. But the good news is that God never gave up on Peter. After the resurrection, Jesus asked Peter a question, the same question three times. Do you love me, Peter? Peter said, yes. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes. He said, third time, Peter, do you love me? Why did Jesus ask Peter three times the same question? Part of the reason was because Peter denied Jesus how many times? Three times. And you know, on that third time, Peter, do you love me? It clicked. Jesus wanted Peter to know that he hadn't given up on him. And that same Peter who turned his back on Jesus, on whom Jesus never gave up, led the New Testament church. He got it started. He preached. After one of his sermons, 3,000 people got saved. He penned two books in the New Testament, both of which bear his name. Folks, listen to me. God never gave up on Peter, and he never gives up on you. He never gives up on me. He will never give up on his church here at Grace Point. When we fail, when we turn our backs on him, in faith, we still have reason to be grateful. Why? Because he never, never, never gives up on me. We should be getting some amen somewhere around here. I don't know how it's coming across, but it's good stuff. Reasons we, in faith, are grateful to God because of his love, because of his forgiveness, because he never gives up on us. Number four, because God's grace is sufficient for my every need. God's grace is sufficient for my every need. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Three times, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, speaking. He said, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, Peter, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul had something going on, some kind of physical ailment, and it was slowing him down. And he came, he said, hey, God, take this away. God said, uh-uh. He said, no, God, you don't understand, really. Take it away. Three times, God, really, you got to take this away. I can do more for you. I can get around better. God, just take it away. And God said, no. Why? God, why? Because God said, my grace is sufficient for you. I'll get you through what you think you can't get yourself through. God's grace is sufficient to empower us, to grow us, to teach us, to discipline us, to use us even at our weakest times, to bless us, to protect us, to intervene for us in times when we don't even know what to ask God. God's grace is sufficient for me. It's what we need at that moment. Now, as people, humans who can do a lot of things, we have a tendency, conscientiously or subconsciously, to think it is we who are in control, who provides for our own needs. That's not true at all. Listen, folks, we couldn't take our next breath if it wasn't for the grace of God. We couldn't do our jobs if it weren't for the grace of God. We couldn't recover from illness if it weren't for the grace of God. We couldn't do anything. Folks, even non-believers who say, I don't believe in God, even they are covered by the general grace of God. They just don't know it. There are benefits we get from God's grace. The Bible tells us one of the benefits is we're saved by God's grace. Not by us, not by anything we do, not by works. We're saved by God's grace. We're forgiven by grace. We are sustained by grace. We're healed by grace. We're liberated by grace. We are given talents by grace. We're used by God by grace. We are kept saved by grace. We are transformed by grace. We are matured by grace. All of that are biblical benefits to God's grace. Folks, the bottom line in the Christian life is grace. Everything God does to you, in you, for you, through you, with you, he does by his grace. Robert Louis Stevenson said this, there's nothing but God's grace. We walk upon it, we breathe it, we live it, and we die by it. Everything is by God's grace. We receive benefits from God's grace. That's one of the reasons we named our church Grace Point. When folks come to our church searching for answers, for forgiveness, We want them to be received by you, by us, in God's grace, by God's unmerited favor. It's in the context of God's grace and how God's grace is for all people all the time and how God's grace benefits all people and how the only reason we exist is by God's grace, understanding that the last breath we just took was by God's grace. When people come in here, we want them to know they have the same grace as we do. That's why we are Grace Point, a point of grace that reflects the truth that God's grace can change a life. We will be Grace Point to the unsaved sinner who hasn't even thought about God, the unsaved sinner who has cursed God. We will be a point of grace for the seeker who's searching for God and also for the believer who's fallen away from God. We will show God's grace to those whose behavior and language mocks God. We want people who drive by our church sign to be reminded every day that we are a church of what? Grace. In faith, especially when you're in a challenging stage of life, it is a difficult season. In faith, be thankful to God for His grace, for His love, His forgiveness. He never gives up because of His grace for us every day. And number five, thank God for His patience. Anybody here ever try the patience of God? Man. I can't even comprehend His patience. I am not the most patient person in the world. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in doing what He promised. The same way some people understand slowness. But God is being patient with you. He does not want anyone to be lost, but He wants all people to change their hearts and lives. You ever lost your patience? Do the letters DMV mean anything to you? Is it just me, or do idiots come out when you drive too? I know they come out when I drive. I can't get out of the church park now. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not naming names. Standing in long lines, bureaucracy, people, politicians. The one difference between God and us in those regards is God is patient sometimes when we're not. He's patient with us, time and time again, over and over again. And just when you think you've worn God's patience out for you, God says, no, you haven't. I'm still waiting. I'm still patient. And you know how sometimes when our patience starts running out, we cross our arms? Do a little foot thing. That's not how God is patient with us. He's lovingly patient with us. Come on back. I'm waiting. You want to go mess up your life? Go on. I'm right here when you're ready to turn around. Thank God for His patience, for God's love, forgiveness. He never gives up on us. His grace, His patience. And number six, another reason in faith to be grateful is because of God's care. In Psalm 147, verse 3, the Bible says that God heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. God heals the brokenhearted. Maybe your heart's been broken in the past. Maybe it's been broken this week. Maybe this month. Maybe all year, this past year. Maybe your heart broke a long time ago and you still feel that aches and pains from it. The Bible says God is close to the brokenhearted. Folks, listen, when you're going through those tough times and you think God is a million miles away, that may be how we feel, it may be how we think, but it's not how it is. When you feel God is a million miles away, He is right there with you. Trying to bring healing to us. When you feel like God is nowhere to be found, guess what? He's as close to you as he can get. And he will bring healing. And last, number 7, we give thanks to God in faith, being grateful to him, because the Bible tells us that God himself, the Holy Spirit, prays for us. I don't understand this, but some things in the Bible I don't understand. I just have to take. I just have to believe. Romans 8:26, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. You ever been in a circumstance or a state of mind? Maybe you were emotionally out of control. Maybe you're in shock. And you didn't even know how to begin to talk to God. Maybe you didn't even want to talk to God. You couldn't put the first words together of any prayer to God. I'm grateful that in times like that, the Bible says the Holy Spirit goes before God for us, and he prays for us. When people tell me they're praying for me, I'm humbled. I'm grateful. I really am. When I know that the Holy Spirit is praying for me, what a grateful heart I have to God. Well, those are reasons in the context of faith that we have to be grateful for God. So the question begs, how do we do that? How do we respond to that kind of grace? Being grateful in faith means giving thanks to God always, regardless of your circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 puts it this way, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In all circumstances, not for all circumstances, but in the context of life, in the midst of anything you find yourself in, good or bad, right or wrong, give thanks to God. I like the writer of Habakkuk when he says this in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. Even though the fig trees are all destroyed, and there is neither blossom left nor fruit, though the olive crops all fail and the fields lie barren, even if the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be happy in the God of my salvation. It's hard for us to relate to fig trees, blossoms of fruit, olive crops, nothing in the barn, the cattle. We don't live like that. But in his day, that was what was necessary just to live life, just to take care of his family, to make sure his newborn baby had something to eat. He's saying, even though everything I need is gone, I will be happy in the God of my salvation. I will rejoice in the Lord. Job put it this way in chapter 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. He's talking about God. If you know anything about the book of Job, he was a godly man. He went through hell. And yet he came to a point in his life through his struggles, the struggles he was having. When everything was said and done, he said, though God would slay me, I will still hope in him. Often our trust is based on the what rather than the who. We focus on the event rather than the one who controls the event. Consequently, when trials and tribulations come crashing down upon us, our faith is shaken. We can't understand why a loving Heavenly Father would allow such grief to enter our lives. Yet if we truly believe that God is loving, we can say with Job that even though he slay me, we will believe he intends it for our good. In his infinite wisdom and goodness, God will take the most difficult circumstances and use them for good in our lives. Being thankful means giving thanks to God always, regardless of your circumstances. Folks, God loves us no matter what. So we talk about God's grace and God's love, and it's great to be reminded of that. I like this video because the end of it says, so what? You know me, I like reading the Bible and saying, so what? So what does that mean? And the last phrase up there, he said, was, let's live it like we know it. So how do we do that? How do we live everything we've learned today? How do we live out this gratitude to God for his grace and his love? How do we do it? I tried to figure this out. I tried to find something that made it concise. I looked for a verse, and I just, finally, it came to me that Jesus tells us how to live it out. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, my father has blessed you. Come and receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created. For when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me in. When I was naked, you gave me clothes to wear. And when I was sick, you took care of me. When I was in jail, you visited me. Then the ones who pleased the Lord will ask, when did we give you something to eat or drink? When did we welcome you as a stranger or give you clothes to wear or visit you while you were sick in jail? They didn't get it. Jesus said, here's what you did for me. And they said, no, we didn't. When did we do that? And then the king will answer, whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me. You know how to live it? It's when we meet the needs of people in the name of Jesus. Whatever need a person may have, if they're hungry or they need clothing, they need shelter, whatever the need is, we find a way to meet that need and we tell them we're doing it in the name and love and grace and forgiveness of Jesus. Listen, folks, if we will leave this place and go meet people's needs in the name of Christ, God's kingdom will be impacted positively. This church will have an Easter crowd every week. If we do what Jesus said to do, that's how we do it. Approaching people with our minds and our hearts full of grace, full of Jesus, full of love. Accepting people where they are, sharing the loving truth of Jesus with them, leading to a relationship with Christ, helping them grow with Jesus, their life. Listen, folks, our church will be reaching hundreds and thousands of people, one person at a time. You started doing that when you gave out the Easter cards last week and we had over 200 people here. You're already doing it. Let's keep it up. Let's keep it up. How do we live in faith? One of the ways is by being grateful. Let's pray together. God, we want to thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love for us. Thank you, Lord, that in faith we can express our gratitude to you all the time. For your love, your forgiveness, your grace, your commitment to us. For meeting our needs. God, we don't ever want to be ungrateful children. We want to take all the blessings you've shared with us and we want to give them back by sharing those blessings with others. Jesus, you said when we did those things to someone else, it was like we did unto you. It's as though, Jesus, we bowed before you and we gave you food, we gave you drink, we clothed you. Lord, help us as this church, individual members of this church, to live out, to practice living in grace by being grateful and showing that gratitude to others. So bless us now, Lord, during our time of response. Encourage us, teach us, convict us. May we respond in a way, Lord, that pleases you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
That song, I'll tell you, not too long ago, I was talking with someone about how they had given their life to Christ, how they knew they were a Christian and on their way to heaven. And they said that song is when they gave their life to Christ.
Really?
They were hearing that song, "Lead Me to the Cross." So let's pray together as you go out. Don't forget, grab a couple of those cards and share them this week. Lord, thank you. And we have that excitement and joy deep in our hearts. Help us to share that with others as we go through the week. Protect us, lead us, show us your grace, and always help us to be grateful for your many blessings. And we pray it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.